So we are holding on Kuf Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, the bottom line, last few words. We learned yesterday, we're discussing the question of how we know that Mila is Deuchat Tzaras. In other words, even if there's Tzaras, normally there's an Isser to cut off Tzaras, there's a Lois Esser. We discussed yesterday in the Gemara, there may also be an essay involved. But nevertheless, we're saying that that when it comes to Mila, you still do Mila even if it involves cutting off Tzaras. Even though you're over on that Lois Esser and possibly on that Esser, but nevertheless, in this case it's Deuchat. Okay, so we discussed how we know this. So we said the last thing we said was like this. Rova had said that we make a Kavah Chomer if Shabbos, which we know, we've already established that Mila Bismana is Deucha Shabbos, then how much more so it's Deucha Tzaras, which is much less stringent than Shabbos. On the other hand, Rabbi Safra said that sort of Safra argues that no, maybe Tzaras, we see after all that Tzaras overrides the Avoida in the sense that we said yesterday that even if the Kohen has Tzaras, even when we're talking about, let's say, the Avoida of Erev Pesach, of bringing the Korban Pesach, we don't say he should cut off his Tzaras in order to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Or let's say most of the Tzibur, let's say most of the Kohenim have Tzaras, we still wouldn't say they should cut off the Tzaras and in order to do the Avoda, we'll just push off Pesach that year. There won't be a Korban Pesach that year, there'll be Pesach Sheni. So maybe it has nothing to do with Tzaras versus Shabbos being more stringent. And Rava answers him that the difference is that the reason why you don't cut off Tzaras to do the Avoda is because anyway, the person himself, once he cuts off the Tzaras, he still needs Tvila and Head of Shemesh. And the last thing we said was that anyway, when do we say Esse? Deucha Lois Esse is only when you're accomplishing the Esse and the Lois Esse at the same time. Here, you'd be over on the Lois Esse, you'd be cutting off the Tzaras, and later on that day, you'd be doing the Avoda, so that doesn't work. So the Gemara points out, it's the last line of Kuf Lamed Beis on the Beis, V'hod Rava v'Rav Safra Tanoihi. This argument between Rava and Rav Safra about whether we're learning Mila Bismana, that Mila Bismana takes place, we said is there were two psukim. We had two places where it said the word basar. We had by an eight day old baby, it says v'yemesh min yimu b'saru lasay. By an adult who doesn't get a bris mila, it says v'oral zachar ashalo yimu b'saru lasay. So by both of them, we say the word basar comes to teach us that. So one way of looking at it, we said, was that the word basso in each case comes to teach us that you do the mila even if there's tzaras there. And then, so what about an in-between? What about a child who's older than 8 days old but younger than 13, so he's not yet chayiv karis? So we said that Abaye had said we could learn it from a mamatzinu, just like if you have a baby and an above 13. So therefore, it also applies to what's in between. And then Rava had said that you don't need that. You can learn a Kavah Chomer that it would apply on the eighth day, and then you only need one. And then you have the two bossers. One of them can be used for the baby more than 8 days old, and the other one can be used for the adult. So this is a machlokes tanoim, whether we can learn the fact that Mila Bismana on the eighth day is Deuchat Tzaras. Can we learn that from a Kavah Chomer or not? So Tanya, we learn in a brisa, bosser. Again, when the pasuk says bosser, v'yomeshmini yumo b'saru lasa, means v'afa pishi yesham baheres yumel divir Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbi Yoshia says that means even if there's a baheres there, you can still do the mila. Rabbi Yonasan ama ain't tzarich. Rabbi Yonasan says you don't need that because, like Rava said, Shabbos chamura doicha. Because if we say that mila is even doicha Shabbos, which is more stringent, tzaras like kol shekin, then how much more so it's doicha tzaras, which is more lenient. So we see that that's basically the same argument as Rava and Rav Safra, where Rav Yonasan is going like Rava and using the Kavah Chomer, and Rav Safra telling him that, and Rav Safra arguing that the Kavah Chomer doesn't work, and therefore implying that you need a pasuk, which is what Rav Yeshia says. Okay, so now let's analyze that. We said Omamar Bosser Afbish Yeshem Baharis Yimil Divir Rabbi Yoshia. So the question is, Holomali, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that it's mutter? All this time we've been taking it for granted that it should be Osir, but actually, why should it be Osir? Dover Shane Miscavin. Who isn't it? A Dover Shane Miscavin, the Dover Shane Miscavin Mutter. We've learned many times in the Masechta that according to Reb Shimon, Dover Shane Miscavin is Mutter. So if we follow Reb Shimon, and most of the Rishonim do, then that would mean that. So in this case, it's Dover Shane Miscavin. You're not intending to make the person Tahor by getting off the Tzaras. You're intending to do the Bris Milah. The fact that the Tzaras is being removed is a side effect of that. Now, usually in the Masechta, we've been saying Dover Shane Miscavin means that you're doing one thing and incidentally something else gets done. For example, you're dragging a bench and accidentally the dirt gets dug up. Here you're actually cutting off the actual skin where the tzaras is. But nevertheless, so one answer in Rishonim is that in fact maybe tzaras only affects the upper layers of the skin. So therefore, like this, you're taking off the whole skin, including so you're doing one part, you're cutting one part of the skin, and with it comes the top layer, which is the tzaras. So that would be one way of understanding why we're calling it Dover Shane Miscavin. Anyway, Dover Shane Miscavin is mutter. And even actually, now when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, we've said before, even Rabbi Yehuda, who says Dover Shane Miscavin, is also Tosfos has said in a couple of places that even he would agree it's only Drabanan, actually. But in connection with other Isurim, we don't say that. We have established before that the Machlokas about Dover Shane Miscavin does apply to other Isurim as well. For example, we talked about it previously in connection with Shatnez. But nevertheless, when it comes to other resorting, Rabbi Huda would say it's daraisa. Rabbi Shimon would still say that it's allowed. So therefore, if it's allowed, then you don't need a pasuk to tell us that you can do it. Okay, but the chiddush is only needed according to Rabbi Huda. Dama Dava Shani Miskaven Osir. He says, after all, that it is Osir. And again, with most mitzvahs, with most areas of Torah, Rabbi Huda will say that it's also daraisa. Only in the case of Shabbos, because Melechas Machshavas also a Torah, only there will he make an exception and say, according to Tosfos, that it's only also Derabanan. Okay, well then, in other words, so Rabbi Yoshia, who needs a Pasuk, Rabbi Yoshia, who says that we need a Pasuk from the word Basar, would say, would hold according to Rabbi Huda, that Dover Shani Miscavin is Osir, and therefore it would have been Osir to cut off the Tzaras if it weren't for the fact that the Pasuk says so. Rava Amar Afilu Tamer Reb Shimon. Rava says you don't need that. You could even say it according to Reb Shimon, because as we've said many times before, Moed Reb Shimon Psik Reisha V'lo Yamos. Reb Shimon will agree when it comes to a Psik Reisha that Dover Shane Miscavin is also, as we've talked about before, for example, in the case of the very heavy bench that you're dragging, where it's inevitable that it's going to dig up the dirt. The same thing over here. Inevitably, when you do the Mila, you're removing the Tzaras. You didn't intend it. Doesn't matter. So therefore, even Reb Shimon would agree that's also daraisa over here, were it not for the word basar, or were it not for the kavah chomer, as the case may be. So the question is, Abaya lesley hai svara, what does Abaya not agree with that concept? That Abaya is saying that we need a pasuk only according to Reb Yehuda, and according to Reb Shimon, we wouldn't need it. Why? What do you mean? Both Abaya and Rava say that concept, that Reb Shimon agrees by Psik Reisha V'lo Yomus. So Abaya should know that also. The answer is Abaya didn't know that originally. Boso Deshama Merava Savra. After Abaya heard the Svara from Rava, that Reb Shimon is murdered by Psik Reisha, then he accepted it also, and from now on it became something that both Abaya and Rava say. But it started out originally as something that Rava said, and before that Abaya didn't know of it, and he thought that Reb Shimon would say that Dava Shane Miscavin is murdered even by Psik Reisha. Okay. The Gemara says, Ika demasni laha da Abaya v'Rava
aha. It's hard to reason like this, because I mean, obviously, Reb Shimon cannot hold that even in a case of Psik Reisha, it's mutar. It's a Psik Reisha. There's nothing. There's no kavana in a Psik Reisha.
Nevertheless, the fact is, though, why are we saying anyway that Dover Shane Miscavin would be mutter? In the case of Shabbos, it's because Melechas Machshevas also a Torah, because the Torah only asks us if you had Kavana to do this Malacha. In the case of other Isurim, fine. But what the source for it would be to say that Dover Shane Miscavin is mutter, I'm not sure. But whatever it is, Abaya originally thought there's no difference. The fact of the matter is, it is a side effect. Whether it's an inevitable side effect shouldn't really matter. Either way, Either way, you didn't intend it. Therefore, there should be no issue. But then Rava pointed out that actually, no, Rav Shimon would distinguish between psikresha and not. And then Abaye accepted that. So, yeah. So it was a svara. I mean, later on, the Gemara doesn't have a problem with that, according to Abaye, that it's not logical to say that. The Gemara is just asking, from the fact is, we see that Abaye himself says that the murder of Shimon of Sikresha v'layomus. The Gemara has no problem with Abaye thinking to begin with that Rav Shimon would say it even by Sikresha. It's a svara, fine. But the Gemara is only asking because the fact is, we find that Abaye himself said differently. Okay. So the Gemara says, now, this that we said, we had this machloikas Abaye and Rava, where we said Abaye originally wanted to say that something is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbi Shimon would allow Dabar Shein Miskaven even if it was a psikresha, and then Rava tells him that no, that the Rabbi Shimon is moided by psikresha, and Abaye accepts that. Some chachamim, Some of the Amoraim learned this machlokas of this discussion of Abaye v'Rava aha in connection with the following, not in connection with mila b'tzaras, but in connection with something else. The pasuk says he shama b'nega tzaras lishma v'oyin v'lasis. The pasuk says be very careful with the nega tzaras, to be very careful and to do. That is where we learn the loisese of cutting off tzaras, because the word hishomer, as we said yesterday, always implies a loisese. In fact, we said yesterday there might be an essay involved as well, because the word lasis would be an essay. But here the Gemara is taking it a little differently. The Braisa says, when the pasuk says lasos, that you're not allowed to do, implies lasos iata oisa, you're not allowed to do something to cut off the tzaras. But what you are allowed to do, you're allowed to do something which is a dover shade of a scaven. The person can tie sieve, which is the stuff that grows around palm trees. It's like a soft, cushiony stuff. Shagabe ragle, around his foot. So let's say, for example, he wants to put on his shoe, and he puts in some sieve over there as padding for the shoe. He can tie it around his foot. Over moed shagabe ksefoy, or if he has so even if he has tzaras on his foot, he can tie sieve around his foot and then put his shoes on. Or if he has tzaras on his shoulder, he's allowed to carry something on his shoulder. V'im avra avra. And if the tzaras goes away, then no problem. So that's why it says lasis. In other words, shemutu lasis malachta. Rashi says you're allowed to do your malacha. You're allowed to do your normal activities, and you don't have to worry that those might result in the tzaras coming off. So now comes the question. So again, the question would be why would we need a pasuk for that? Dava shein miskaven mu, the dava shein miskaven mutter. Again, it would be a dava shein miskaven. That should be mutter, according to Rav Shimon, anyway. So why would we need a pasuk to tell us that it's allowed? So again, on this one, Amar Abaye nitzrucha el Rav Yehuda dama dava shein miskaven also. So Abaye would say it's true. We don't need it according to Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon would say anyway it's mutter. Only Rav Yehuda, who normally says dava shein miskaven also, would say it's needed in this case because he holds dava shein miskaven also. And therefore he would say that they, so in this case the Torah would be making an exception by the word lasos and say that it's mutter. And v'rova amar afilu teimer Rav Shimon. You could even say it's according to Rav Shimon. Or moida Rav Shimon psikresha. Well, almost again, Rav Shimon would be moida where it's psikresha. And apparently, the idea is we're assuming over here that it is a psikresha that if you put on the sieve or if you carry a pole on your shoulder or whatever, that it is going to rub off the tzaras. So again, then the question would be, Rabbi Lesley High Swara. So are you telling me Rabbi doesn't hold the Swara? Rabbi Varava Damitava murdered Shim of Sikresh of Layomus. Didn't Rabbi also say that? And again, the answer is Labosa de Shame Mirava Savra. The answer is again that according to that after Abaye heard it from Rava, then he understood that then he understood it and accepted that yes, Rav Shimon would not say his din when it comes to Psikresh. Okay. So now let's get back to Abaye's original assumption that Rav Shimon would agree that Rav Shimon would say it's mutter even when a psikresha. So again, the Gemara doesn't have a problem with the svara in and of itself. What the Gemara is going to have a problem with is that according to that, it comes out that we have an extra word, va'abaya, alibadid of Shimon, hai bosa mai ovidle. The question then would be, according to Abaya's understanding of Reb Shimon, according to Abaya's original understanding of Reb Shimon, what would he do with the word bosa? We said before that according to Rabbi Yoshia, we said that the word boser teaches us that even if there is tsaras over there, you still cut it off. According to Abaye's original understanding of Reb Shimon, that you would have been allowed to even without that, because it is a davar sheni mistaven, even though it is a psik resha. So according to that, according to Abaye's understanding, so in other words, forget about the question, why didn't Abaye realize that until Rava told him? Abaye should have realized to begin with that if we do it that way, then what is Reb Shimon doing with the word boser? Now we had a machloikus tanoim at the top of the Amud, whether we're learning from the word boser or whether we're learning from a kavachomer, but that was only as far as mila bismana. That was, do we need the posik to tell us also about mila bismana is doicha tzaras? And then we had a different posik to teach us about an adult that it's doicha tzaras. And we said previously in the Gemara that Abaye would say that then we learn the in between one, the child older than 8 days but younger than 13 years, we would learn from a tzada shava between them. Or is it like Rava and Rabbi Yonason had said that the baby 8 days old, you can learn from a kavachomer and then you have the two psukim for the other two? Okay, but the fact of the matter is, according to everybody, you're using the word boser at some point to teach that at some age, mila is doicha tzaras. Everybody agrees you need one for a gadol above 13, and you have. Do we have a separate word boser for the child between eight days and 13 years, or do we learn that from a tzad hashava and then we use the posik for the 8 day old? Whatever it is, the point is we're definitely using the word boser to teach us that mila is doicha tzaras at some point. But according to Abaye, if the whole thing is if Reb Shimon allows it anyway, then according to Abaye, what would Reb Shimon be doing with the word boser? The answer is Amar Amram, but Amar Lokutz Bahauto Humuskaven. So Rab Amram says, because Reb Shimon would say that even if the person is saying, I want to cut off the tzaras. In other words, like this, you could have, let's say, the Gadol we're talking about. So you could have where he just knows, you know, okay, I have a mitzvah to do bris milah. The fact that I'm not worried at the moment about the tzaras, I'm worried about that I need a bris milah. So he arranges with the moil to get himself a bris milah. You're right, according to Reb Shimon, that would be davar sheni miskaven. But you could have the other way around, where he knows his primary purpose over here is to get rid of the tzaras. The way to do it, he knows, is by getting a bris milah. So he goes and arranges for a bris milah, or he himself maybe even does the bris milah with the purpose deliberately of cutting off the tzaras. So now it's not davar sheni miskaven. Now he actually has kavana to remove the tzaras. And nevertheless, Reb Shimon would say that it's mutter to do that on the grounds of, because the pasuk says the word boser.
But it's different when you talk about it, the psukim we learned that you have to do on the eighth day if it pushes it off, whereas if you pushed off already for an adult, so then you could wait another few days, another week until the trust is done.
That's true. And actually, that is true. And in fact, it's true. And in fact, for that reason, you know, we'll say, nevertheless, though, every day that he doesn't have a bris milah is an avera. In fact, the Rambam and the Raivad and Hilchas Milah discuss the question. When we say that a person is chayav karis for not getting a bris milah, the Rambam learns that it just means, okay, every day he's over, but he's only going to get karis if he actually dies without having a bris milah. And the Raivad disagrees with that. So nevertheless, every single day we want him to be getting a bris milah. But it's true, actually, that particular svara is used to explain why it is that we don't say normally we say an essay is doicha aloisa, as we said yesterday, but usually an essay is not doicha aloisa and an essay. But here we're saying it does, because here we're saying even though we said cutting off taras involves a loisas and an esse, we're still overriding mila. We're still overriding it for the sake of mila. But we don't learn from that from all other places in the Torah and say therefore it should be doicha. Therefore it should be doicha an esse and a loisas all the time, because mila is special. Because mila nichrusel the yudgimo brisis. You have the 13 brisis about it, and we want it to happen as soon as possible. But yeah. Okay. So even though he wants to, even though he wants to cut off, and actually, I should say, I think Marshall talks about the vote is because it's true that maybe the Tsaras will go away, but after all, maybe it won't. What happens if the Tsaras never goes away? He could go his entire life without having a bris milah. Therefore, we're going to say that even in this case, even though he's doing it for the sake of removing the Tsaras, we're going to allow it because you never know, the Tsaras otherwise might stay there forever. That was the vote. Okay. So even if he has kavana, nevertheless, we're saying he's still allowed to do it. Okay, so the question is Tenach Godol. Fine. So that explains what would be the Godol, that even though he has that kavana, nevertheless it's still mutter. Cotton my ikol meimer. What are you going to say by a cotton? He doesn't have kavana one way or the other. And again, we said it says twice bosser, and we said one of them definitely refers to a godel. The other one maybe refers to a cotton under 8, or maybe it refers to a cotton between 8 and 13. But either way, a cotton's a cotton. He doesn't have that kavana to dafka remove the tsaras. So then the question would still be, again, according to Abaye's original understanding of Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon would allow it even if it was psikresha. So according to him, you wouldn't need a posik to tell us that it's allowed. So with a gadol, fine, you can say even if he has kavana, so it's not davar shein miskaven. What would you say with a cotton? The answer is amar mashashia ba'omer avia ben lokutz baheres tibnoi who come miskaven. Yeah, but what we mean is that the father, who after all, the father has the responsibility to make sure that his son has a bris milah, where he says that I want to do it in order to remove my son's my son's tsaras. So even in that case, so he's telling the moyel in order to do it. He's telling the moyel to do it. Nevertheless, we would say that it's allowed because even though it's not Dover Shane Miskaven, he's having kabana because of the word bosser.
And if he doesn't have a father and he's a yasim, what do you say?
If he's a yasim, then it's actually the responsibility of the local beistin to get him a bris milah. But then in that case, then obviously we can rely on them that they're not going to be doing it for the sake of removing the tsaras. They're going to be doing it for the sake of doing a bris milah for him, and then we're back to a davar shein miskaven. We're trying to find a case over here where it is miskaven, and nevertheless it would be mutter, and that would be the case. If we're talking about an adult where he himself is miskaven, if we're talking about a child, we're talking about where the father has kavana on his son's behalf. Interesting discussion, by the way. The Achronim have an interesting discussion. The Minchas Chinuch talks about it. The Mishnah Lamelach talks about it. In the case, Taka, where you have, let's say, for example, so in the case of the Godol, where he tells somebody else to do the Mila, now the other person doesn't necessarily have in mind to be doing it for the sake of removing the Tsaras. Pashtus, the Moyel, is doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, to do the mitzvah of Bris Mila. But nevertheless, what we would say is that the intent, the kavana of the gadol or of the cotton's father would take precedence, and therefore we would say that there would be a chiyuv, there would be an issur, and there would be an issur malchus of cutting off the tsaras, were it not for the fact that it's being done for the sake of the mitzvah of bris milah, were it not for the fact that we're accomplishing the mitzvah of bris milah. Okay. The question, though, still is v'iika acher. Okay, but the question is like this: what happens? Let's find somebody else to do the bris milah. Let the father not be over there, and therefore la'evad acher. Let somebody else do the bris milah without the father being involved. In that case, that way we won't have like this. What are we saying? Even though the father intends to get rid of the son's tsaras, and we're saying his machshava ends up taking precedence over the moyel's, fine, but we have a way around that. What we could do is have the moyel do the bris without the father being there, and therefore now the father's machshava doesn't make a difference. Now we'll be able to accomplish both. We'll be able to do the mitzvah without being over on the eset. Again, this is all according to Abaye's original understanding of Reb Shimon, that it would have been that it's mutter anyway, and you don't need a posik to tell us that it's mutter because it's davar shein miskaven. Fine, let's make it a davar shein miskaven. You're saying the father is saying, yeah, but my son has tsaras. The real reason I'm coming to you, moyel, is because I want to get rid of the tsaras. The fact that you're able to accomplish it in a way that's mutter by doing a bris milah, then good, let's do that. Let the moyel do it without the father being around, or let's find a different moyel who the father hasn't talked to and have him do it. And that way we accomplish both. And that would be best, the Amr of Shimon Lakish, because after all, we know Rish Lakish says a general rule. When we say Esa Doicha Loisese, the rule is like this: Kol Mokum Shata Moitza Esa Veloisese. Whenever you find an Esa and a Loisese that are in conflict, for example, Kilayim and Tzitzis or whatever, Im Ata Yochel Lekayim Shneim, if you're able to accomplish both of them Mutav, then best to do that. Do things in such a way that you won't have to be over on the Loisese in order to be Mekayim the Esa. Only if not would we say the S is only if not would we say the S is doicha the loisese. So here we have a way around it, because we could if the only problem is that the father, if the only problem is the father's kavana, fine, let's get the father's kavana out of the picture, and then we would do it that way. So then in that case we wouldn't have a heter to do it with the father being around and saying I want to do this in order to cut off his saras. So then we're back to, it would be done for the sake of the mitzvah. It's davar she'eino miskaven. And again, according to Abaye's original understanding of Reb Shimon, davar she'eino miskaven is mutter, even though it's p'sik reisha, and we wouldn't need a pasuk. So again, this is all the Gemara trying to figure out why Abaye didn't realize in the first place before Rava informed him that Reb Shimon is mutter by p'sik reisha. And the answer is deleka acha. The answer is okay, but we could be talking about, let's say there's nobody else available. So there is no way to use Rish Lakish's method. So therefore, of necessity, therefore, we're saying we're going to have to have the only moil around is the one that the father already talked to and said that I want to that I want to have my son's tzaras removed. And if you can do that in a heterodic way, which is by making a bris milah, then good, do that. And we're still saying it's mutter. We're not going to say wait for another moyo, because again, we want to do the mila bismana, or we want to do it as early as possible. And again, there's the swara that we mentioned before, that after all, if you don't, then he might end up, if you don't have the moyo, do it. What if you don't find another moyo, and what if the tzaras still stays there, and then you might have that he might never be able to get the bris mila, because as long as the tzaras is there. So therefore, we're going to say that never mind that, we're going to allow it on the basis of the word basar, on the basis of the word basar. But again, in the Lamaskana, Abaya and Rava both agree that psikresha v'lo yamos, that Reb Shimon agrees to, then therefore we need the pasuk according to him anyway, even without that, even whether it was miskaven or not. Just the fact that cutting off the orla inevitably involves removing the mila, inevitably involves removing the tzaras on it as well. Then Reb Shimon would have, and Reb Yehuda for that matter, neither of them would allow it, were it not for the pasuk baser.
What would happen if he was an adult, and then he is a nazir, and then he becomes tzaras? What would happen?
Well, the case of what happens if a nazir becomes a mitzora as a whole, it can be a bit of a complicated case, and we'll learn about it in Masech the Nazir when we get to it, Bez Hashem, but that's not really relevant over here. I mean, a nazir can't cut his hair. Here we're talking about cutting off the orla, two different body parts. But the short answer is that the nazir's nazirus is suspended while he has tzaras. But like I say, that's a subject for a different time. Okay. Omar Meir, we said before, we quoted a braisa on Kuf Lamed Beis, Amed Beis, that said like this. It said, Mila is doicha tzaras, whether bismana or shaloi bismana. And now we've just gone through the sugya explaining how we know that. Because again, we have three different stages in life. We have three different stages in life where there could be mila and saras. Eighth day, past the eighth day, but below 13, so the child is not yet old enough to be chayav koris, and above 13, where if he doesn't do it, he could be chayav koris. We said twice in the pasuk it says the word basar. So we said that either we use each basar in the context that it says, one for an adult, one for an 8-day old baby, and then the one in between we learn from a tzad hashava, which is what Abaye said, or we say that the 8-day old baby we learn from a kal vachomer, which is that if Mila Bizmana on the eighth day is Doicha Shabbos, then surely on that day it's also Doicha Tzaras. And then the other two we learn from the word Basar. But now the Braisa said, Omamar Yomtiv ain't a Doicha Ela Bizmana Bovad. We said that Yomtiv, it's Doicha only if the Mila is taking place Bizmana. So that's true of Shabbos, but now we're going to focus on Yomtiv. How do we know? So how do we know that a Mila past the eighth day is not doicha yomtiv? So Menahani Mili, where do we know that from? Omer Chizkia, V'chein Tana Dvei Chizkia. So Chizkia says, and also they learned as a yeshiva from the Beis Medrash of Chizkia. The difference is, in other words, when it says Omer Chizkia, means it was said as a statement of Amiroyim. Tana Dvei Chizkia would mean that they actually established composed a brisa that says that says these words. It's like this. Omakrot, the Pasuk says, by the Korban Pesach, Loiseh Sidur Memenu Ad Boiker. The Pasuk says you should not leave over from the Korban Pesach until the morning. And then the Pasuk continues, V'hanosim Memenu Ad Boiker Bo'esh Tisroifu. Whatever is left of it until the morning, you should burn it. We should burn with fire. Now, She'ein Talmud Leimer Ad Boiker. The Pasuk did not have to mention the second time Ad Boiker. Because if we say that you can't leave it over until the morning, and then anything that's left, if we say that you're not supposed to leave anything over until the morning, then obviously when are you burning it in the morning? Ma Talmud Lomar Ad Boker. So what is the second Ad Boker adding? Barakos of Litan Lo Boker Sheni Lisrei Fosse. The Pasuk is coming to tell us that you don't burn it that same morning that it became noiser. You have to burn it the following morning. You eat the Korban Pesach the night of Pesach, the one night of Pesach that there is in Eretz Yisrael. The next morning is the first day of Yom Tov. You can't burn the Korban then. In general, you can't burn Noser on Yom Tov. So what do? You have to wait until one day later. You have to wait until the next morning, which is the 16th, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed, and then you burn it. So we see from that, in other words, you don't do things of choil on Yom Tov. The Korban Pesach is considered to be a thing of choil because, after all, when do you bring it? You bring it on Erev Pesach, which is not a Yom Tov. So, therefore, we're saying the Korban Pesach, since it was brought on a Yom Choil, on a weekday, therefore the burning of it cannot take place on Yom Tov. It has to take place on a weekday. By the same token, then a Mila Shaloi Bizmana means that the proper day for the Mila came. It was a weekday. But then it couldn't be done for whatever reason. So now it's considered a weekday activity, and now you can't do it on Yom Tov. Okay, so that's one. Abaya Omar. Abaya says, here's a different way. Omar kro oilas Shabbos v'Shabbatoi. The Pasuk says, the oila of each Shabbos on its Shabbos, which means, v'loi oilas choil b'Shabbos. We've learned about this before. It means you don't bring weekday korbanos on Shabbos, which means, in other words, when you have the fats and whatnot that are left over from the korbanos of Friday, you're not allowed to burn them on Shabbos, on the Mizbeach. V'loi oilas choil b'Yom Tov. And similarly, you can't burn the weekday oila on Yom Tov. Same thing. Any korbanos that were brought on Erev Yom Tov, the fats and Evarim of them have to be burnt before Yom Tov begins. So by the same token, in other words, so we're saying, again, Mila Shaloi Bizmana is like an Ola of Chol on Yom Tov, because again, the time for it was on the eighth day, and that was on a weekday, and now you had to postpone it to Yom Tov. So the same way as you're not allowed to burn the leftover pieces of a korban from weekdays on Yom Tov, the same way you're not allowed to do a Mila, so to speak, leftover Mila from a weekday to do on Yom Tov. Rava says a third way. Omar kro hu levada ye'osalachem. The pasuk says only it should be done for you. The pasuk says about melechas eichel nefesh that only melechas eichel nefesh is allowed on Yom Tov. So we have the words hu and levada are both miotim. So each one of them teaches us something. The word hu means v'loy machshirin. The word hu teaches us that only melechas eichel nefesh itself is deicha Yom Tov, not the machshirin. So similarly to we learned at the beginning of our parak about machshirim of mila. Let's say you don't have the knife, or let's say the knife is not there, and you're not allowed to bring it. You're not allowed to bring it on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make it or bring it on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Akiva, which, as the Gemara is going to say now, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. So the same thing with Eichel Nefesh. Let's say, for example, so let's say you want to shecht an animal on Yom Tov, which you're allowed to do. Let's say you don't have a shechita knife. You're not allowed to make one on Yom Tov. So we learn that from the word hu, and the word levadoi means v'loy mila shaloi bizmana de asti mikavachayma. The word levadoi means that means that you're not allowed to do a mila shaloi bizmana, which otherwise, if you didn't have that word levadoi, you would have learned by a kavachayma that mila is allowed, that mila even shaloi bizmana is allowed on Yom Tov. What kavachayma? Rashi says we're talking about the kavachayma that we discussed yesterday in the Gemara, the one involving tzaras. That tzaras is doicha avoida, because we said even if the kohen has tzaras, and even if the majority of kohenim have tzaras, we don't allow them to cut off their tzaras in order to do the avoida. And we said nevertheless, mila is doicha tzaras, whether bismana or shaloi bismana. So therefore, Shabbos. So Shabbos, or in this case, we're talking over here about Yom Tov. which you do the avodah on, then in that case, mila shaloi bizmana should be doichet. So that would have been the kavachomer that we use. But instead, the pasuk tells us levado to tell us not to do that kavachomer. That's according to Rashi. A lot of Rishonim have a problem with that because, after all, in the Gemara before, we schlogged up that kavachomer. We said it's not really that saras is more chomer. We said it's not really that saras is more chomer. It's that saras is a special case because even if he cuts off the saras, he's not going to be able to do the avoda today anyway because he's still going to need tevila and head of shemesh. So, one answer is, in fact, here we're talking according to Rava, and there, as we said yesterday, Tosfos says the gear server there might have been Rabba. So in that case, it could be two different Amoraim who have different opinions, but different other Rishonim bring different other possibilities what the Kavachomer is. The Rabbi Chananel says over here the Kavachomer is if you're allowed to do Melechas Oichol Nefesh on Yom Tov, even though Melechas Oichol Nefesh to prepare food is not in and of itself a mitzvah, it's part of the mitzvah of Simcha of Yom Tov, but there's no particular mitzvah in and of itself to prepare food on Yom Tov, and nevertheless you're allowed to do it. You would have argued that Mila, which is an actual mitzvah, and well, for that matter, without the Mila, the child is not able to eat truma. The adult, a person who doesn't have a bris milah, is not able to eat truma. So maybe it should be considered sort of a malachas ochel nefesh. And therefore, we would have made that kavachomer, and therefore the pasuk needs to tell us that not with the word levadai. Tosfos earlier in the Masechta discusses another possibility. The kavachomer would have been based on the fact that you're allowed to bring nedarim or nedavas on Yom Tov, that you're allowed to bring your voluntary karbonis. You're allowed to bring according to one opinion in the Gemara and Beitza anyway. You're allowed to bring your nedarim and nedavos on Yom Tov. So therefore, we would have made a kavachomer. If you're able to do that, how much more so you should be able to do milah. Okay. Anyway, so we would have learned it with one of these kavachomers, and therefore we need the word levadoi to tell us that not. So that's a third way of knowing that you don't do milah shaloi bizmana on Yom Tov. So far we have one from burning the Korban Pesach, from the word adboker, two from burning the leftover pieces of the korbanos that are on the Mizbeach, and three from the word levade. Rav Ashi says a fourth way. The pasuk says shabasa in esehu. All this time we've been assuming that not doing malacha on Yom Tov is only a lois esse. There's no esse involved. Now Rav Ashi is pointing out there's actually an esse involved because by each of the Yom Tovim it says shabasa. It says you should rest, which means esehu. That is a mitzvah saseh to rest on that particular Yom Tov. Bahavala Yom Tov esse v'lois esse. So now Yom Tov is actually an esse and a lois esse together. And as we know, ve'ein esse doicha is lois esse v'esse. So an esse is not doicha, lois esse, and esse as we talked about before. We said before, maybe Mila being doicha tzaras is an exception to that because we would say, again, the svara is that otherwise he might never get a Mila because the tzaras might last there for the rest of his life. But ordinarily, we say an esse is only doicha, lois esse, not a lois esse and an esse. And in fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov these days we're starting Rambam and Perek Echad, I believe you guys are now in the listing of mitzvahs asay. So you'll see there that you have there the Rambam lists for each one of the Yom Tovim. There's a separate esse and a lois esse. Lishbois on such and such a Yom Tov, and not to do malacha on such and such a Yom Tov, and so forth for each of the six other ones. So that's based on what Rav Ashi is saying over here, that each Yom Tov involves an esse and a lois esse. So those are four different ways of learning that a mila shaloi bizmana is not doicha Yom Tov. Again, that it's doicha bizmana. We said before we learned from the word bayoim. Bayoim hashmini yom b'sar olasei. Bayoim means even on Shabbos, and of course, if it's doicha Shabbos, all the more so it's doicha Yom Tov. But shaloi bizmana, we're saying it's not even doicha Yom Tov based on any of these four limudim. Okay, we said in the Mishnah.
So I'm asking you the question. I'm asking you the question I asked you last time, which is that how do we know that the Mila is valid after the eighth day? After all, the Pasuk says Yom Ashri, Ashmini.
That's fine, but the Pasuk also says V'orol Zohar Asher Lo Yimol P'sar Olosei V'Nichrasa. The Pasuk says an adult who doesn't have a Bris Mila gets Kores, implying obviously he has the option to do a Bris Mila. If the only time to do it was the eighth day and it's too late to do that after that, then you can't give him Kores for not getting a Bris Mila. At 8 days old, he was too young to know the difference, and if you said that a Bris Mila is never valid after that, then there'd be no room to give him Kores for not getting it.
No, because after the eighth day, you would say that he doesn't get kares, but it's not considered bris milah anymore.
But the pasuk uses the expression "asher lo yimol p'sar olosei." So no, it is considered milah.
It's a milah, but it's not a bris milah.
Yes, it is. The same. When we said Nichrusola Yud Gimel Brises, the 13 times it says Bris, some of those Brisim, at least one of those, it says actually in connection with a Gadol, as Brisi Hefar. So yes, it is still considered Bris Mila. And that's, we said before, that it is even Doicha Tzaras, because we have one of the words, Bsar, is also over there. Asher Yumos Bsar Eloso. We said we learn that Mila is Doicha Tzaras from that word Bsar. So yes, it applies, that particular part applies equally well after 8 days. Only the part that's not Doicha Shabbos or Yom Tov applies only on the 8th day. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had said a general rule, disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer, that Machshirei Mila are not Doicha Shabbos. And the general rule Rabbi Akiva said is anything that could have been done before Shabbos has to be done before Shabbos. And only when it comes to the Mila itself, which can only be done on Shabbos, only that is done on Shabbos. And then anything after that. So Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rabbi, Halacha Rabbi Akiva, the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, so Machshirei Mila are not Doicha the Mila. I'm not Doicha Shabbos. The Gemara continues. We actually have a similar thing when it comes to the Korban Pesach, where we have the same machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, and again we have Rabbi Yehuda pointing out the halachas like Rabbi Akiva. We learn in a Mishnah in Pesachim, Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said a general rule, Kol Melacha She'ef Shalal La'asos Me'erev Shabbos. Any of the malachas with the Korban Pesach that could have been done before Shabbos. Rashi gives examples from the Gemara over there. For example, let's say the animal was outside the tchum and you need to bring it to the Beis Mikdash. You need to bring it to the Beis Mikdash. So you have to make sure that it's within the tchum before Shabbos, when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, that is. Or let's say the animal has a wart, which would make it a Baal Mum, and you have to cut that off. You have to make sure to cut that off before Shabbos. So Eina Doicha is a Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva would say such things are not Doicha Shabbos. And if the animal wound up outside, if the animal was still outside the tchum when Shabbos began, or it still had the war when Shabbos began, then you can't bring that animal as a Korban Pesach. Shchita she'ef shal asosim erev Shabbos, only the shchita of the animal, which cannot be done erev Shabbos, doicha es Shabbos, only that overrides Shabbos. So same machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. V'omer Rabbi Yehuda amar Rav halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, the halacha is Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Tosfos points out it's not really Hilchos Ela Mashicha because it sort of strengthened. Usually the Gemara asks, why are we bothering paskening halacha for what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? The Sanhedrin at that time can decide who the halacha is. But Tosfos says, because the fact is that it's sort of strengthening the psak about Mila, that we're saying it's not only as far as Mila, but also as far as other mitzvahs, that we would always say the machshirim of a mitzvah are not Doicha Shabbos. Now, the question is, Utsricha, why does Rabbi Yehuda have to inform us of that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in both places? We need it. De'iyashmin and gabi Mila, because if he only told us that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva by Mila, we would say, Hosam hud machshirin efshal asas me'asmo. You know why we say that any machshirin that could have been done yesterday, don't override the Mila, and you'll just do the Mila the next day if you don't have them, because loy dochu Shabbos, so that they're not going to be dochu Shabbos, they're like a kares, because there's no kares involved. If you end up having to postpone the Mila from Shabbos to Sunday, okay, there's no kares involved. The child himself is not going to be chai of kares until many years later. The father is not chai of kares at all for not having his son get a bris Mila. Therefore, we would say that, okay, so if you don't have the machshir and you don't have the knife or whatever, then fine, you just postpone the Mila. Aval Pesach the Ika Kores, but Pesach, there's only the one day to bring it, and if you don't, then you chayev Kores. Eim Lidchu Shabbos, you would have said that, let's say, still, maybe the fact is we don't want him to be in that situation, and therefore we're going to allow him to bring the animal from outside the Tchum or whatever. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda needs to tell us the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, even in that case. The Yeshmin and Gavid Pesach, on the other hand, if he only told us the halachas are like Rabbi Akiva, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, you would say, because Pesach is not as important, Mishum Delo Nichrusola Yud Gimel Brises. Because as we said, it doesn't say 13 times Bris in connection with the Korban Pesach, like it does in connection with Bris Mila. So you would say maybe Pesach is less important. You can override it. You can postpone it. He just won't bring a Korban Pesach if he doesn't have the animal inside the tomb. Ava Mila De Nichrusola Yud Gimel Brises. But Mila, where you have 13 brises, and therefore it's a very, very important mitzvah. Eima Lidchu Shabbos, maybe you would say that even the preparations should be Doicha Shabbos, so you should be allowed to make a knife or carry the knife or what have you, in order to accomplish this very important mitzvah that has 13 brises. Tzricha, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda has to tell us in both cases that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Okay. So now, the Mishnah continues, Oisin kol tzorchim mila b'Shabbos. We do all of the
needs of the Mila on Shabbos. What about Pesach Sheni? It would break the kares, wouldn't it?
Well, so the Gemara actually discusses in Psachim, there's a sugi over there that discusses the question, what exactly happened? Fine, but what happens though if he doesn't end up bringing it Pesach Sheni either? You have different possibilities over there. Is it tradition v'shogeg b'sheni? You could have a case, let's say, where for whatever reason he deliberately didn't bring the Korban Pesach the first Pesach, and then mistakenly he didn't bring it Pesach Sheni. Or you could have, I mean, after all, it's, you know, not necessarily, I mean, he has Pesach Sheni available, but he could end up being Tomei, he could end up being Bederach HaChayko or whatever, and then you would have he's actually Chayav Kares, because in this case, for example, it's sort of an onus, you know, he didn't have the animal available within the home before Shabbos, but nevertheless, we're calling it a chiyuv kares in the sense there can be kares involved for not bringing the Korban Pesach, as opposed to there can't be kares involved for delaying the bris milah by a day or two. That's what we mean. Okay. So the Mishnah says, oisim kol tzorchim milah b'Shabbos. You're allowed to do all the needs of the milah on Shabbos, namely, and now again, we're not talking about the preparations for the milah, that we just said the halacha is that you can't do them on Shabbos. We're talking about the milah itself and the things that come after it. Moyalin, you do the actual milah itself, which is to cut off the orla, upodin, and you do the priya. Underneath the orla, you have a thinner membrane which the moyal peels back with his fingernails in order to fully expose the glands, the end of the aver over there. So you do that, because the priya is part of the milah as well. In fact, at the end of our parak, we're going to learn more of like paras amila ki ilu mol. If you do the milah without the priya, it's considered as if you didn't do the milah at all. So here, the priya is an essential part of it, and you do that on Shabbos as well. Umoitzin, and he does the mitzitze. He sucks out the blood. Now here you have an actual malacha involved, Rashi explains, because you're sucking out the blood, and therefore you're causing it to travel from where it was, and that would be a tolda of the malacha of sheichet, as we learned before, taking out the blood. Nevertheless, that's an essential part of the milah, as we're gonna learn on Amud Beis. You have the famous discussion that's gone on the last couple hundred years on the question: does mitzitza daft have to be done by mouth? Can it be done with a tube? Can it be done with a sponge or whatever? You have certain poskim allowed it to be done with a tube or a sponge or what have you. Many poskim said that not, it must be done with the mouth. And that's, of course, the whole argument about mitzitza bepeh that you have every so often surfacing in the headlines. Okay, so you do that. Then you do all those things on Shabbos. The nos nele is splonis v'kamen. You also, afterwards, you put onto the milah a bandage and kamen, which is cumin, which is a spice, which in those days they used to put it on to speed up the healing. Okay, now what do you do if you don't have, now you're supposed to use ground up cumin for that purpose. Im lo shochak me'erev Shabbos, if you didn't grind up the cumin before Shabbos, you can't grind it up on Shabbos. Lo yis b'shinah v'nosin. What you can do is you can chew it with your teeth. You can chew it with your teeth and then apply it over there. Now, it is true, Tosfos mentions, that after the milah, the baby is considered a chola sheyesh b'sakana, but still, we should try to make as much of a shinui as possible, and since we're able to accomplish it by chewing the cumin instead of grinding it up, then we should do that. The imloy taraf yayin v'shemen me'erev Shabbos. Also, they used to, in those days, another treatment they would put on the milah afterwards is they would mix up oil and they'd mix up oil and wine together, beat them together in a bowl like you beat eggs, and then apply that to the area. So imloy taraf yayin v'shemen me'erev Shabbos. If you didn't beat together the wine and the oil before Shabbos. So what you do is you can't do it on Shabbos. You put them each individually, meaning either what it means is you pour the wine and the oil into the bowl. You don't beat them together. You maybe just stir them a little bit gently with your finger or whatever, and then you apply it. Or it means you pour the oil on the wound, and then you pour the wine, and then you rub them around in there a little. The ein oisim macholok lahatchila, continues the Mishnah. You can't make that afterward. You need the bandage. The kind of bandage they used in those times for a milah was called a cholok. A cholok literally means, because it was shaped a little bit like a shirt. It was a tube of cloth. They would put it over the aver, leaving the end of the aver uncovered. So it looked a little bit like a shirt. So you're not allowed to make that on Shabbos. And the reason is, Rashi explains, they did that in order, because you don't want the skin to grow back over and recover the egg. So therefore, they have this chaluk, like would hold the remains of the skin back, so they don't grow back over. Nowadays, I guess they don't do that. Nowadays, they use other kinds of dressings. But anyway, so you're not allowed to make that chaluk on Shabbos, because again, any tzorche mila that could have been done before Shabbos have to be done before Shabbos. So if you don't have a chaluk, what you can do is you can just wrap a piece of cloth around it. And that'll do until after Shabbos, and then after Shabbos you can make the chaluk like you're supposed to. Because after all, the point is, the chaluk is not needed for the healing of the mila itself. It's meant only to make sure that a side thing doesn't happen, that the skin doesn't grow back over and recover, and that you can't be doicha Shabbos for. Imloy hiskin made of Shabbos, if you had the chaluk, but you didn't prepare it, what if not only you don't have the chaluk, but you don't even have a piece of cloth available right there, if you don't have it prepared before Shabbos, kodach alatz boyu maybe, then what you can do is you can take the cloth and wrap it around your finger and bring it vafilu mechotzer acheres, and you'd be allowed to do that even from a different chotzer, where they didn't make an eruv with the chotzer where the bris is taking place, but nevertheless, because you're wrapping it around your finger, it's considered derech malbush, so it's considered a way of wearing it, and therefore uri mutter. There's a discussion among the Rishonim, what about, would you be allowed to do that even in Rishos Rabim, or are we saying only from one chotzer to another where it's only an Issu Dirabanan to begin with? Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Mechti, let's consider, Katani Kulu, we mention in the Mishnah all the things you have to do for Bris Mila. We mentioned the various stages of the mila itself. We mentioned the treatments that you put on it afterwards, the cumin and the wine and oil. We mentioned the choluk. So we've covered everything. So when the Mishnah starts off, oisin kol tzorche mila b'shabbos, what else is that coming to include? The answer is lasuya hodatana rabbanon. It comes to include this that we learn in a braisa about more details of what you're allowed to do as far as the mila. Hamol, when the person is doing the bris mila, calls manchu osik b'mila, as long as he is involved with doing the mila, as long as he's doing the mila and the priya, and maybe also the mitzitza, choser, then what if he realizes he didn't remove the entire erla? Now, you have like this. Later on in the perek, we're going to learn that there's a minimum amount of the erla that has to be removed. There has to be, you have the area where the erla is attached to the aver, you have after the mila is done, you have a groove that goes around over there, which is called, from there it starts sloping down to the end. That area is called the atara. It has to be that most of the atara, most of the glands, it's called in English, is uncovered. If most of it is not uncovered, then you haven't done a proper bris mila. Now, so you have like this. So we can distinguish between, you have what's called tzitzin, as the Gemara is going to call them, which means pieces of flesh. You have the ones that are active, and you have the ones that are not active. Meaning, again, you have that ring that goes around near the end over there, from which the glands begins, and then it slopes down to the end. So there are tzitzin ma'akvin, namely, if he didn't remove most of the skin of the orla around that, then it's tzitzin ma'akvin, and it prevents the mila from being considered valid. And then you have, if he cut most of it and left over a miut of it, then that would be tzitzin chain and ma'akvin. So the Braisa says, Hamol calls Manchu Osik Bamila, as long as he's involved in doing the actual Mila, Choyzer, he can go back and redo it properly, Bein Alat Sitzin Chain Makvinas Amila, whether it's to remove one's pieces of flesh that are actually going to be Ma'akiv the Mila, or ones that are not. So if he realizes after having done the Mila and Priya that actually he didn't do the Mila, he only removed a small amount of the Orla and most of the Atara is still covered, then he can go back to do that. And also, even if he realizes that, okay, most of the Atara is uncovered, but some of it still is covered, he can also go back and fix that, as long as he's involved in the Mila. This is on Shabbos. Pirush. Once he's finished with the mila and the priya and the mitzitza and realizes that al tzitzin ma'akvin asamila choser, he can go back even on Shabbos to finish the tzitzin ma'akvin, because after all, without that you don't have a proper bris mila. Al tzitzin chein ma'akvin asamila ain't a choser, but he can't go back to remove the tzitzin chein ma'akvin, because after all, those are not that would be like a new beginning. So as long as he's involved with the mila, then Shabbos is already given to be overridden for this bris. Therefore, he's allowed to do all of them. But once he finished with the mila and priya and mitzitza, now at this point, If he starts over again to remove the tzitz and chain and makvin, then that would be like a new beginning, and he doesn't have the right to be mechal Shabbos for that. So therefore, so when the Mishnah says kol tzorchi mila, it means even the tzitz and chain and makvin, as long as he's still working on the mila, then he's allowed to do those as well. It's kind of interesting, actually, when you think about it. I mean, nowadays we have, you know, the moil just takes the knife and does like, you know, one quick cut and it's done with. Apparently, in those times they didn't do it quite like that. Maybe their knife. I can't imagine. It's not that their knives weren't as sharp. I don't really know why it is that we're spooning over here that there might be tzitz in ma'akvin or tzitz in chain ma'akvin. I'm not sure that any moil nowadays would do that way. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Man tana pirush eini chozer." Okay, when we're saying that because he finished the milah, now we're saying if he were to go back for the tzitzin shenim akvin, it would be a new beginning, and he's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Which tana says that? Amar Rava Baba Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechon, and Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel Rabbi Yechon b'breika he. That would be according to Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel Rabbi Yechon b'breika, which we learned before. The Tanya we learned a couple of prokim ago. Our ba osa shachalis b'Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, comes out on Shabbos and you bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, mafshit adam Pesach ad achozer, you only strip off the skin of the Korban Pesach until the chest of the animal, and then you remove the emurim, and then you leave the rest of the skin attached until after Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel Rabbi Yechon b'breika. V'cham mafshit neskula. The Cham say you can remove the whole skin. And we learned about this previously in the 16th Perek. We had a whole discussion about why the Chachamim would allow you to do the whole thing. Was it because they allow such things even when it's being done for tzorach hediyot? You don't need it for tzorach gavoya. You don't need it for the sake of the actual mitzvah because you're able to remove the emurim without it. But the Chachamim allowed it because kol poil Hashem l'maneu, because you're doing it for the honor of Hashem. So the kodshim shouldn't be like a nevela, or so they don't spoil, or in general you're allowed to do them, etc. So we had a whole sugya about it. But anyway, the point is now what are we talking about over there? You stripped off the skin until the chaza, then you take out the emurim, then you're going back to the stripping of the skin. So therefore, that's the equivalent over here of having finished the main part of the meal and then going back to do the tzitz and chain and makvin. And Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel Rabbi Yechon b'breika is saying you can't do that by the Korban Pesach. So we would assume the same thing. He would say you can't do it by the milah, whereas the chachamim, who say that over there you could finish stripping off the skin, would say that over here you could go back for the tzitz and chain and makvin, even though you already finished the first stage of the milah. Okay. So the Gemara says, he says that that's the question of Rabbi Yechon ben Breika Hossel. You know why Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yechon ben Breika says there that you can't finish taking off the skin of the Korban Pesach? Because you don't need it. There's no zeh keli v'andeu. Once you removed the emurim, then there's no particular hidur mitzvah in making the meat nicer by removing the rest of the meat. But when it comes to the milah, you have a concept of in and zekeli mandeu. Here, the mitzvah, to make the milah look nice and remove as much as possible of the orla, even the tzitz and chain and makvin, then that is an important factor. And maybe Rabbi Shmuel would allow that on Shabbos also. Even if you finished milah priya and matzitza, and then you realized, wait, but the tzitz and chain and makvin, but in removing them would be making the mitzvah nicer. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel should allow it because zekeli mandeu is an important thing. Zanya, as we learn in a brisa. When the pasuk says "Zeh keli vandeu," this is my God, and I will make him beautiful, it means his snarl of fun of the mitzvahs. It means be beautiful before Hashem with mitzvahs. Asay lefun of sukkana v'lulavna, make for Hashem a nice sukkah and a nice lulav, v'shofarna, nice shofar, tzitzisna, nice tzitzis, sefer torah na, a nice sefer torah of a kasabo l'shmoy, and write the sefer torah l'shmoy. Actually, writing it l'shmoy is actually a halacha, but okay. Bidyoyna, use nice ink. Bekulmusna, using a nice pen. Now, the pen itself, I mean, you're not going to see the pen later on when you finish writing the sefer torah. So one explanation is, when we say the nice pen over here, what we actually mean is that the writing should be nice. You should use a pen that you make sure you use a pen that will allow you to write very nicely in that way. Even long after it's written, you'll see the letters look very beautiful. Belavla Uman, have you use an expert sofer. The kochim b'shiroi known, and wrap up the sefer Torah using nice silks, using a nice mantle. So all of that is part of zekeli vandeu. So the same thing over here to make the milah nice. Abasholim, or Abishol learns the word Zekeli Vanveu differently. The Tanakama was learning from the word Anveu, Meloshin Nova, Meloshin Nice. Rabashol is learning it Meloshin Ani Vahu. Means heve doimel anivahu, I and he, meaning heve doimeloi. I, meaning, in other words, make yourself like Hashem. Anivahu, I will make myself like him. Meaning, mahu chanan v'rach, mafata hei chanan v'rach. Just like Hashem is kind, is kind and is gracious and merciful, you should also be gracious and kind and merciful. So you should follow Hashem's ways. In fact, Marashal says it's not even Abishol is not even really arguing with the Tanakhama. He's not even necessarily doubting Anvehu any differently than the Tanakhama. He's saying you Tanakhama are talking about making sure that the various objects that you use for mitzvahs, for example, your lulav and your sukkah and your sefer Torah and so forth, are nice. Abishol is also adding, by the same token, your midas should also be nice. Anyway, the point is, so maybe so Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh, Rabbi Yechon, Bebroka would agree with that concept of Pashtos, and therefore he would say that, yes, in order to make the Mila nicer, maybe you could even go back for Tzitzin HaMa'akvin. So the fact that we're saying that not would be, is not necessarily only according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would be according to everybody. The fact is, as we said before, that it's very nice, very, very nice to do Hidur Mitzvah, but you can't be Mechal al Shabbos for that. Once he finished, once he did the Mila and Priya and Metzitza, and then he realizes there are tzitzin and she'ein and ma'akvin, then he can't go back for them, because even though that would be hidur mitzvah to make them, but you can't be mechal Shabbos for hidur mitzvah. Okay. Elo, Amar Rav Ashi Homani Rav Yosi. So no, Rav Ashi says we can say that this statement about not being mechal Shabbos for the tzitzin, she'ein and ma'akvin would be according to Rav Yosi. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Bain Shinira Ba'alil, when the moon is visible, and Edom have to come to Beis Din to give Edus, so that Beis Din can declare Rosh Chodesh, whether the moon was seen clearly in a way where many people have probably seen it, Bain Shaloy Nira Ba'alil, or whether it wasn't seen so clearly, and you two Edom might have been the only ones who saw it. Either way, Mechal and Olavas Shabbos, if it's Friday night, you still Mechal Shabbos to go and travel to Beis Din and give Edus. Rabbi Yosi, I mean, near about Lil, a Machal and all of us a Shabbos. And Rabbi Yosi says, if it was seen clearly, you're not Machal Shabbos. So we see, therefore, that Rabbi Yosi is saying that, Rabbi Yosi is saying that even though there is a mitzvah involved, it's not Sodach Gavoya, it's not really needed for the sake of establishing Rosh Chodesh and the Yom Tovim on the right days, because after all, there are many other people who probably saw it as well, and some of them will be within a Tum Shabbos, a Beis Din, and they can go, rather than you being Mechal Shabbos. So by the same token, Rabbi Yosi would say that over here, it's not Sodach Gavoya, because these are, after all, Tzitzin Shein and Ma'akvin. They don't, the Milah is kosher, even if they're still there. But again, not necessarily. Mimai, who says that's correct? The difference is, Rabbi Yosi would say that there, to begin with, you don't have the right to be Mechal Shabbos because you saw the moon clearly. Many other people also, but Mestama did. So therefore, Rabbi Yosi would say, to begin with, you don't have the right to go and start breaking Shabbos and start traveling to Beis Din. But Avahacha, the Nitna Shabbos Lidachos, but over here, after all, the Moel does have permission to start by doing something which normally is also on Shabbos. Because after all, there is a bris to be done on Shabbos, and he is doing a bris which normally involves, which involves Malachas, and we're allowing him to. So maybe Rabbi Yosi would say, fine, once you've already started, once you were already able to be Mechal Shabbos for the bris itself, then maybe you're allowed to even be Mechal Shabbos to continue, even for the parts that are not Tzorach Gavaya, to remove the tzitzin, shein, and ma'akvin. But when you, maybe Rabbi Yosi would say, when you didn't start being Mechal Shabbos yet, and you don't need to because other people will have seen it as well, then you're not allowed to. Ela, Amri, Nahar Doi, so actually the Nahar Doi, the Chacham of Nahar Doi say, Rabbanan, the Pligya Leder Rabbi Yosi. Actually, the ones who say that you can't go back for the tzitzin, shein, and ma'akvin once you finish the Mila on Shabbos would actually be the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yosi. So not Rabbi Yosi himself, but actually the opposite, the Chachamim who disagree with him in a different context, not when it comes to Edus of Rosh Chodesh, but rather when it comes to the Lechem upon him. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Menachos, but when it comes to, they replace the Lechem upon him on the Shulchan every Shabbos. So how did they work it? Arba'a Koinim Nechnasim, four Koinim would go into the Hechel, Shnayim B'yadim Shnei Storim, two Koinim are holding the two stacks of Lechem upon him, each one is holding a stack of six. The other two kohenim are holding the new two spoonfuls of Lavoina that are going to be placed on the shulchan with the lachem upon him. Ba'arbah makdimin lefnehem. Then you have four other kohenim go in ahead of them to take off the old lechem upon him. Shnayim little shnei starim. Two of them are going to be taking off the two stacks of lechem. Shnayim little shnei bazichin. Two of them are going to be taking off the two bazichim, the two spoonfuls of teres. Hamachnisim oynim etzafin upneim ledarim. The ones who are bringing in the new lechem upon him stand on the north side of the shulchan, facing the south. The shulchan itself is on the north side of the heichel, is in the northern half of the heichel. So the ones who are carrying the new lechem upon him are standing between the wall and the shulchan. Rashi explains, because in general, in the Bismikdash, everything involved in the north was a place of chashivus. As we know, for example, Kodshim Kalim are shechted on the north. So therefore, the ones who are bringing in the new lechem upon him, we give them the place of honor and have them stand in the north. And they're facing south towards the shulchan. The ones who are taking out the old lechem upon him are standing on the south between the shulchan and the menorah. Then they're standing, and they're facing towards the north. So you have the ones who are taking out the old lechem upon him start pulling them out. They start pulling them out in their direction. The other ones, meanwhile, at the same time, are sliding theirs in. One kohen's hand is right next to the other kohen's hand. There's no space. There's like very little space between the old lechem upon him and the new. Because the pasuk says the lechem upon him always has to be on the shulchan. So therefore, you have to make sure, says the Tanna Kamma over here, says the Chachamim, that the shulchan shouldn't be without lechem upon him for even a moment, and therefore they have to make sure that as they're taking off the old lechem upon him, the new lechem upon him is being put on. Mefarshim on the Psukim talk about the idea that through the shulchan, Hashem sent down parnasa and shefa to the world, and therefore if the shulchan was empty for even a moment, then that would be broken off. That's according to the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yossi says you don't need that. I feel elu noten ve'elu manichin. Even if the one group takes away the lachem upon him and later on and take it completely off and later on they put on the new lachem upon him, after ho yotamid, that's also considered tamid, because Rabbi Yossi would say, Rashi brings that tamid just means that they have to have bread on the shulchan every night. And the point is, therefore, we see that the Chachamim are saying that no. The Chachamim agree that Tamid does not always mean constant. You have, for example, the Korban Tamid is only brought twice a day. But nevertheless, the Chachamim would say that if you take off the old lechem upon him and later on you come and bring in the new lechem upon him, then it's considered a new beginning. It's not considered Tamid anymore. So the same thing, if you finished the Bris Milah and now you're looking at Tzitzin, Shein, and Makvin, the Chachamim would consider that a new beginning. And again, you don't have the right to be Mechalal Shabbos for that new beginning, because those are Tzitzin, Shein, and Makvin. The Milah is kosher even if they're never removed at all. So therefore, the Chachamim would be the ones who don't allow you to remove them. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, just the opposite would. Yeah.
When you take the Tzitzin, that Makvin, the Tzitzin like little strings of skin?
Yes. Tzitzin literally means strings or hanging off things. Yeah. So that's, I was saying before, I mean, usually now, you know, nowadays a moel does the milah. He does like, you know, one clean cut and there's nothing hanging off. But apparently in those days, they didn't always do that. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe they didn't have such sharp milah knives, although that's hard to imagine. They had sharp shchita knives. No reason they couldn't have had sharp milah knives. But I don't know. Whatever it is, the point is that sometimes you'd have these shreds of skin that are left over. And again, you might have enough of them to cover most of the atara. And then the milah is no good yet. Then for sure you can go back for those anytime, because without those you don't have a valid bris milah. And then you can have ones. Then you can have ones that are not active, where only a minority only a small part of the atara, less than half of it, is covered. And those are tzitzin, shein, and makvin. So we're saying that he should remove them ideally, because zekei livan beu. But we're saying on Shabbos, if he already finished the bris milah, as long as he's still working on the milah, then he's allowed to remove them also. But once he finished with the milah, once he did the milah and priya and maybe also the mitzitza, then he's not allowed to go back for them. So we're saying that would be the chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yossi would be the ones who say that. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
And you're back, Mitch.